Hello, everyone. My name is Joe McKinney, CEO of the Startup Societies Foundation. Today, we have a very exciting podcast. We have a lot of masterminds in multiple different initiatives here today. Today, we are joined by Tom W. Bell, creator of Ulex, Matt Shute of Holochain, and Philip Saunders of Nuhans Network. Hello, everyone. You want to give yourselves a quick intro, starting with Matthew?
Yeah, my name is Matthew Shute. As you said, I'm the Director of Communications for Holo. We are building two things, Holochain, which is a peer-to-peer applications framework. It enables people to build and run applications using just the devices of the users themselves. And then Holo is sort of one of the first big flagship applications operating using Holochain, and it's a peer-to-peer marketplace. I'll keep it with that and pass it to the next person.
Tom, you want to do a quick intro?
Sure. Thanks, Joe. I created Ulex to solve a problem for clients. They needed the best practices in legal systems without flags attached. And that's what Ulex offers. It collects substantive and procedural rules from the world's most trusted and neutral sources from private and international organizations, and puts them together in this organized framework that, while not in itself enough to run an entire community, is an important kernel of a government operating system. So what we're aiming at ultimately, when I say we, I mean a loose community of a lot of people, I'm sure a lot of them in the Holo community, are aiming at creating governing institutions which are decentralized and distributed. And Ulex offers for that kind of governing OS a kernel. It's much like the Linux kernel at the heart of the most popular OS in the world, which is the Android operating system. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
All right. So I'm Philip Saunders. I'm CTO of Nuhans Network. So I've been involved in a couple of projects just as CTO of Nuhans. So I've written two white papers so far, mainly focused on, you know, issues of land registry and identity that we're building. I'm also involved just in an open source capacity with Ulex. I'm hoping to contribute some code and some things to the white paper. And so I'm pretty interested in civic technology and decentralized governance.
All right. So to really to deepen the conversation, Matthew, what is the problem that Holochain is trying to solve?
So the problem that Holochain is trying to solve is basically, how can we coordinate our activities with one another? Essentially, how can we constrain our own behaviors in ways that work for us without having to resort to some third-party enforcer? So it's really about coordination. For us, this project comes out of a larger project called the Metacurrency Project that we've been working on for well over a decade. And for me in particular, I came into all of this through political philosophy, basically. I was trying to figure out approaches for how communities could self-steer better. And after about a decade of looking for answers and not finding much, I had a series of epiphanies around how communities actually steer themselves when they're small, the way in which those mechanisms tend to be quite different from the things that we usually rely upon for helping communities steer themselves when they're big. The main difference there being small communities rely quite heavily on what I call discretion, but a lot of people can access more easily through terms like reputation. Whereas large communities tend to rely really heavily on violence, the police and prisons and that whole side of the legal system is really the sharp end of the stick when it comes to how larger communities tend to enforce social norms. Long story short, I realized that the approaches that small communities use have a whole bunch of advantages. They're more efficient, they're more effective, they're more adaptable, but unfortunately they historically have not scaled very well. If the community starts to get really large, it's very difficult for you to have access to the relevant information to help you make a decision about whether or not to interact with somebody in a particular way, whether or not to make yourselves vulnerable to them, for instance. Small community, not a big problem. Big community, big problem. Holochain is a piece of the answer for how we can enable people to agree on some norms and enforce those without having to put some central power in place, with a primary enforcement being that other people turn away from you when you do stuff they don't like. So I'll sort of leave it there for right now.
And Tom, I'd like to ask the same question. What is the main problem that ULEX is trying to solve?
Thank you, Joe, for asking. I said earlier that I wrote it to solve a client problem. And that's true. It was for a particular client. It's how a problem always first arises. But I saw the same problem recurring elsewhere. And I just want to say this before I forget, because something Matthew said really struck me. I think it just bears noting that he described the Holochain as part of a larger system. And I just thought it's actually reassuring in a way to hear that realistic modesty. And I think it can, you know, I hope that you got the same thing from my expression of what ULEX's aims are. It's just to provide a part. And that's very, you know, suggestive. Somehow I bet these parts will fit together. But back, Joe, to your question more particularly. Well, all sorts of communities need the law. Humans actually love the law. They do. They do. I think we should like rename maybe humans from Homo sapiens, you know, the wise one, to Homo elegans, you know, the choosing, the man who chooses, the person who chooses. Now, not always wisely, but we choose. And that's what we want to do. We want to choose the laws we live under. And when we can do that, if they're good rules and they're administered in a fair way, I mean, that's a recipe for a really strong, happy community. People don't want to have laws, of course, imposed on them from without, but yeah, it should come from within. And again, to return to Matthew's intriguing comments, it reminds me, I'm sure he's read Hayek, it reminds me of Hayek's fatal conceit. And it's, in a way, Matthew's saying, we have an answer for Hayek's fatal conceit. Hayek said, we have these norms, which are great norms for small communities. They've sort of evolved both culturally, more culturally than biologically. Sure, it's a mix of everything. We've evolved to have, you know, these communities that operate in these norms. Don't hurt each other. Be fair. Share when somebody needs something. You know, stuff that works in a village. They're a big family. But it doesn't scale, said Hayek. And Matthew says, yeah, it can scale. And I kind of want to do the same thing with the law. It's easy to find laws that you want in a small group. Well, I shouldn't say easy, but it's more doable than when you're under the thumb of some coercive empire. But it's hard to see how larger communities can cooperate to have, I'm not going to ask for cultural norms in common, but just flipping legal norms, you know, so we understand for everybody what it means to breach a contract. You know, it's not exalted metaphysics. It's really workaday, what are the rules, and how do we resolve conflicts when we have a business conflict or a family conflict or all kinds of conflicts, and that's what ULEX is for.
And yeah, just to go on that, I mean, I think it's interesting how, you know, if you look at the real world and how people interact, I mean, rules emerge from the aftermath of disputes, you know, and it's in specific context that, you know, you start out and you don't always know exactly what the rules are. But then as things happen spontaneously within some kind of a social arrangement, that's when people kind of discover what's a good way to do things, you know, what shouldn't be done. And so having a kind of a system that can reflect that sort of spontaneous order, I think that's one of the things that I'm really excited about Holochain.
But that suggests, if I may, I was wondering, how does Holochain and ULEX, how do they work together? A way they could work together, because ULEX itself is pretty static. I mean, you know, there's a repository on GitHub, and it's up to version 1.1, and it'll continue to evolve that way, no doubt at all. But there's nothing in ULEX really to kind of set up what you really want to have in a legal system, which is a record of dispute resolutions and the reasons for it that's searchable and publicly accessible and is subject to commentary and all the things that create a legal culture. When we can have a universal legal culture, by universal, I mean basically or anybody, no matter where you are, as long as you kind of sign a contract or join a community where they say, ULEX, we're running ULEX, you know, ULEX used here. And then we'll have this repository of universal law that will evolve, as you say. So I want to see that happen. And ULEX won't do that. And if Hollow can do that, yay.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love the point that you both of you brought up. Philip, your point about cultural norms. One of the things that actually kind of led me down this path was the realization that, and this may sound funny based on, you know, how Tom's pitching this, but my realization in the middle of law school that culture always trumps law. And the reason I say that is law is just words on a page somewhere. It doesn't actually take action or effect in the real world unless somebody implements it. Some police officer, you know, goes and arrests the guy for doing that thing. Or what I realized is if the police officer doesn't enforce that, or if the judge doesn't slap the police officer for doing it wrong, or if the people don't go riot in the streets, you might get something very different from what we wrote down in the first place. Because it's always subject to interpretation. It doesn't take effect in the world until it's literally embodied in the brains and bodies of the people themselves, where it is shaping their expectations about what's appropriate. And the interesting thing for me there that opened up was, oh, okay, culture is held inside of the brains and bodies of the participants, just like law is held in some legal document or in a holochain app, for instance. It could be the shared rules that a number of people are sort of playing together in accordance with. They're making use of those rules for helping coordinate their activities. But the culture side enables us to come into alignment about some set of rules that we're choosing to play by. But at the same time, it gives us some freedom. It gives me the freedom to try to play some additional game with another person, right? I can choose to constrain myself in some new way in addition to the game that I'm playing with you. I don't have to get everybody else's permission to do that. And so it enables a community to experiment with different rule sets simultaneously. It enables sort of many communities to be trialing different ways of working together alongside one another. And if I find that making use of some particular rule set isn't working for me, I keep getting screwed over, or it's just too much of a burden to be keeping track of those particular things, whatever the reason, I can stop using those. And essentially, I'm opting out of playing that game with those other actors. The one other point that I'll make is, and I think there's a whole bunch of answers that open up here, but I have a question for Tom or Philip around what the different methods of enforcement are that they envision for communities making use of ULEX during or after, I suppose, conflict resolution.
So I just wanted to say, Matthew, that's a really interesting point about culture. One of the things about culture and you know, this word reputation that we have, a key component to that is memory and being able to have a kind of have some kind of a record. And I think in old times, let's say, that just would have been memory, just in a literal sense. And one of the things that if you go back to the early days of blockchain, especially Bitcoin, one of the things that appealed to a lot of people about blockchain is this idea that you could keep a record and you could keep kind of memories, let's say, of who owns what and what sort of what currency belongs to which address, etc. I think increasingly, one of the things that's drawn me to Holochain, especially coming from the blockchain kind of Ethereum sort of smart contract kind of world, is I think you're increasingly seeing a lot of the kind of the early principles of this community, which is the idea of getting rid of third parties, decentralization. I mean, it's increasingly quite centralized in the way kind of blockchains are constructed. It's a very kind of client server kind of structure. And I think because of the way it's architected, it's only going to grow. It's only going to become increasingly centralized. And I think a lot of people are realizing that you just can't, you know, when you think of the, if there's kind of, you know, trade-offs like that, you know, either you can scale or, you know, you become centralized, or you can remain decentralized and you don't scale. And I think one of the things that Holochain brings, I mean, the comparison I use, it's kind of a cliche comparison, but the Copernican revolution, which is, you know, this idea that, you know, when you think that the earth is the center of the universe and you're trying to look up at the sky and you're trying to make calculations of how to prove this, you know, the calculations become incredibly complex. But when you just do a simple move where you just put the sun at the center of the solar system, then it suddenly becomes very simple. And I think that's the kind of the comparison I use with Holochain, which is the idea, instead of trying to sort of centralize all of the data, all of the memory, let's say, in one place and have everybody sort of share that sort of single source of data, instead you have an agent-centric approach, and the kind of quote immutable part of it is the rule set. And of course, it's in Holochain, it's possible to fork the rule set. You can sort of opt out and go into different rule sets. But the point is, as long as people have some kind of way of knowing what rule set they're using, then you don't need to centralize the data. People can have their own data, they can have their own chain. And I think that when you think of how some kind of a cultural or legal system like ULEX could work in the real world, I think that's what you're talking about, which is that you can have different communities that, you know, have their own set of rules that they're kind of opted into, and they can, you know, because, you know, let's say there's quite a complex or quite a large history of disputes or cases or you know, even laws that might emerge from that, it's much easier to kind of scale that because you don't have to keep all of that in one place. So I just wanted to make a kind of a technical point and a philosophical point to that.
Thanks, Philip. If I might, as I heard it, Matthew left us with a question, and I respond to problems. So thank you, Matthew. I want to go back and I actually heard you raise sort of three issues. I find nothing to disagree with in what Philip, my friend, said. It's just he's not giving me a bow that you are. And here, I want to return to what you said, and I agree with it. You said norms shape not just culture, but legal culture on the ground. That's what I heard you to say, Matthew, something like that. Sort of like, you know, what you got on paper is fine, but at the end of the day, it's the cop with the gun in his hand who decides whether or not he's going to call this one in. And I agree with that, but I want to add, and by the way, I want to say you're an excellent company. I was at an event in San Francisco where Tyler Cowen spoke last week, it was, and he made something very much like the same point in the context of charter cities. And his point, like yours, is sort of, well, you know, written rules only get you so far, culture controls a lot. I agree, no doubt. But consider also that the effect of culture can be shaped by legal rules, specifically rules of procedure. And that's the nice thing, a nice thing about ULEX is the rules, the default rules for adjudicating disputes don't appeal to a third party authority. The adjudicating body is formed by the parties who have the dispute. Now, of course, they've already had some sort of mediating contact. They both agreed to be in a system that runs ULEX. It might not be the same system because, you know, just like different computers running Apple's OS can talk to each other, you could have two systems running kind of, you know, different versions, a newer one or an older one of ULEX, but they could talk to each other. So there you go. I want to say that about norms shaping culture, agreed, even legal culture, yes, but a good legal system, like I dare say ULEX, can offer procedural rules that shape the effects of culture. So even cultures that are not, we don't think of as being especially rule-oriented. I don't know. I don't want to cast any stones, but maybe, I think Tyler chose this one, Russia, you know, they kind of do things a little more wild-haired way. Even Russians running ULEX would find, oh, I can't just, you know, whip out my saber or whatever they're doing that's chaotic in Russia. All right, let's go to another thing you said. And I'll get to your last point, Matthew, was enforcement, you know, in these digital networks. But you also raised this issue of opting out. Totally agree there too. You said people need to be able to opt out of systems and into the systems they want. And I mean, that's pretty much what I said. Totally agree. Let me put this in the context of UX though. Two things. One, people need a default. You need to have a default for people who don't think in their, because they don't, because I've already looked at the code, who don't think to make reference to what body of law is going to control disputes arising under this agreement. I've had this conversation so many times, so pardon me if I feel a little frustrated. I really dig what the coders are doing, and they're making smart contracts and talking about how the disputes arising under this contract will be resolved, and they don't say what body of law is going to apply, and it will apply, and I can give you plenty of reasons. Let me give you an example. You got a contract that says we have to have 3 or 4 signatures for this transfer of funds to happen. It's a smart contract. And one of the parties alleges after the fact the signature was extracted at the point of a gun. Someone was in my office and they said, open your computer and do that or I'm going to blow your brains out. Now, that's not a valid signature, legally speaking. And now this digital system has a problem. Are we going to do the humane, right, legal thing? Or are we going to let this machine grind forward and allow violence? So you need good default rules. And I offer ULEX as that. So another thing about ULEX, it makes opt-out easy. It's built for opt-out. It's just a default. It's a neutral good default. And if you want to opt out, it just says, basically, it's got provisions that say, you entered a contract, we enforce the contract. And that's what happens now. And that's what's going to happen under ULEX. All right, now to enforcement. Talk about norms, talk about opt-out. As usual, I think ULEX is the answer to all your problems, but I'm just that way. Enforcement. But here I'll say ULEX can't help you a whole lot. Well, what ULEX can provide is, with a lot of supporting infrastructure, a reliable source of judgments about what is, well, I'm going to say legal, but I think it can say fair. I mean, I think the rules used in ULEX, basically, don't ask me, I didn't make them up, right? It's a consensus view of a lot of really super smart people motivated to find good legal rules. And people use these rules in practice, and they work. We see states running the same rules that are used in ULEX. Real governments using it in the real world, and it works. That's why I use them in ULEX. But ULEX doesn't have any guns, you know, no badges. It is part of a system that can issue things like a decision from an oracle that provides a signature on the kind of M of N digital contract we actually can trust because there's humans in the loop. Yes. ULEX could be great for that. Now, how you give that digital contract, you know, muscle in the world is, well, that's up to you folks at the, you know, at the Holochain, I guess, to figure out. And I think you will figure it out. I kind of get the abstract idea, but you know, that's something that's your job. ULEX's job is to provide adjudications according to specified rules and by algorithms, which all of which are trusted and public and adopted consensually by the parties and allow easy opt-out. So nobody should feel trapped. They won't feel trapped. It's just sort of, this is a good kind of bland vanilla, I don't know, Ford Taurus kind of for the masses legal system. You want to do something bespoke and fancy, go for it. Do your Scientology or whatever legal system you want. Just don't hurt anybody. There are limits. I'll stop there.
Wanted to jump in there because I know it didn't answer, Matthew, I didn't answer your direct question. But in terms of the direct answer to that, I think it really comes in the sort of, before you go into contracts. I think if in addition to ULEX, we had some kind of a legal kind of script, let's say, you know, to build contracts, and, you know, you can specify the kernel. You know, the default kernel is of course the restatements, the common law. You can specify the kernel that's you know, the body of rules that's going to be used to, you know, judge any dispute that might happen. And if you can specify that in a contract and then in advance, you know, specify, you know, the two parties, let's say, to the agreement can specify, you know, a set of judges that can, or a set of mediators, let's say, who can then sort of jump in the case of a dispute. And I think, but really we're talking about a lot of other infrastructure that needs to be built, you know, whether it's sort of legal script and languages. I've actually worked a little bit on that myself in the past. I was developing a legal script and language called Codex, and I'm quite interested in going back to that. But yeah, so I think there's a lot of sort of second layer infrastructure, and especially with the cultural aspect, you know, with reputation, I think you can have some kind of sort of encoded reputational consequence, let's say. Another great approach to that is staking. So if people can be sort of staked financially in contracts in advance and earn the outcome, that's a good way. It's really more like insurance than loss. So you can kind of combine aspects of insurance where people like stake things in advance, and that can then be used to kind of sort of back up, outcomes of cases, you know, just that bit more binding without the need to use force, let's say. So I just wanted to add that.
Oh, if you want mechanisms, the three are staking, burning, as in rep, or ostracism. Boom, boom, boom.
Exactly.
Matthew.
Wonderful. Yeah, I from my perspective, and I have very, you know, I haven't dove deep into ULEX yet. I've got to peruse some of the materials, but the way in which it feels like it lines up with some of the stuff that we've been working on, and though we're not necessarily working at that layer, is in the kinds of shared rules or shared agreements that a community is going to make use of. And I hear you going, hey, there's a whole bunch of this stuff that's been worked out through the legal system and you know, common law and all that stuff. We've tried a bunch of things for hundreds of years and we've learned some lessons. And my belief is what we're going to see over the coming decade or two is an explosion of variety, actually, in the rule sets that communities make use of for coordinating their activity. We think of Holochain as being kind of akin to DNA. In fact, part of the Holochain applications, we call the DNA of that app, and that's basically the code, the shared rules. The idea there is that DNA includes the instructions that lead, if given the right resources, to a specific biological organism taking shape, right? It could become an eagle if it's one set of DNA. It could become a jellyfish if it's a different set of DNA, a redwood tree if it's a different one. But that underlying new way of encoding information showed up on the scene, and then we had this Cambrian explosion of organisms, right? There was a huge increase in the variety of species available thanks to that new medium, essentially. And our hope is that Holochain can serve as the DNA, basically, for social organisms, ways of humans, primarily, coordinating their activities with one another so that they can do new things, right? Today, the social organisms that we have are things like hospitals, or a university, or a representative democracy, or a C corporation in the United States, for instance. And those are different variations on the same theme. Those are various forms of hierarchy. And we think that there's a whole bunch of new ways of playing together that people will be able to try. Not all of them will work, right? We're assuming people are going to try stuff and go, man, we tried it and it sucked. And they'll try something else and they'll go, that worked better. And then somebody else is going to see that work, that useful, vibrant experiment, and they'll go, ooh, yeah, we want to try that too. And they'll borrow those rules, borrow those patterns. And depending on where they apply them, they may work great and they may not, because the same set of rules applied in a different context might not fit that context at all. But through trial and error, we're going to see a whole bunch of, I think, wisdom emerge. And I could see the kind of system that Tom is talking about with ULEX as being a seed for some of that, that's building upon and borrowing from basically hundreds of years of all refinement that's already gone on.
That's an apt description, Matthew. I totally agree. I see it, ULEX, as merely a little imperfection, perhaps, that is a seed for a crystal in this super saturated solution. I mean, we're not super saturated yet, but you're closer to the action than I am, so you could probably attest to the fact, wow, things seem to be changing in, I think, really good, positive ways, but, you know, interesting new ways we haven't seen before, and things are going to pop in some interesting ways. I think ULEX could be at the center of some of that, and something beautiful could come up.
Well, I mean, this is a question, I mean, for Matthew. I mean, I think that there's a great potential for both ULEX and Holochain to really make a more to bring more humanity to the internet, let's say. I think you know, when you can kind of structurally place agency at the kind of the core kind of structural architecture, I think a lot of interesting things can come for that. When you place agency, then people can opt into different systems and create these different organisms. But I just wanted to, Matthew, like, I just wanted to ask, like, what's your vision as to how Holochain could transform the internet, like in combination with like cultural and legal systems and maybe some financial components as well? Like, what's your vision of that?
Sure. You touched on a core principle earlier in your previous comments, Philip, around memory. I'll back up just a little bit and kind of touch on game theory, but the basic gist is, if we're playing, if I don't know anything about you, if you're anonymous, I'm not able to tell the difference between you and any other human that could walk in front of me, then I have to interact with you kind of with my guard up, right? I don't know anything about you. And if I know that nobody else is going to know anything about this interaction between us, we're operating in this anonymous environment. And so we have to do some heavy duty sort of self-protection in order to interact with one another. However, if I am able to remember things, then from previous interactions, I can learn, hey, what is this person like? Are they good at fixing cars? Are they nice to other people? Do they steal? Whatever the specifics of that situation are, that context, or that I might want to pay attention to. If I'm going skiing and I'm looking for guidance on how to get down this hill without killing myself, whether or not you're a wonderful surgeon doesn't matter a whole bunch. I want to know if you know the mountain, right? And so us being able to build upon past experience, our own past experience, but also other people's past experience, right? If somebody else had some interaction with you and they go, oh my goodness, he's wonderful, he's brilliant, he is not only incredibly technically adept, but he is really deeply wise in his understanding of why we would want to approach something a specific way. He's basically a philosopher and an artist as well as a technologist. If somebody came to me and said that, I would go, yes, I want to work with that guy, right? At least I would if I knew them and trusted their opinion in those regards. In terms of the way in which we're seeing this making the internet better, you had touched on agency and shifting to an agent-centric approach earlier. And we've been talking a little bit about culture here so far. We've been talking about community. Well, one of the unusual things, and I loved your reference to the Copernican Revolution because I kind of see this in that way myself. It's really common for us to talk about community and try to describe it from a bird's eye view, looking down at the community, looking from the top and going, ah, these people are Americans, or these people are, you know, residents of San Francisco. But that kind of misunderstands what a community actually is. Something isn't a community unless you have communication. If that wasn't the case, we could go, okay, the people who drive blue Kias, right? The Korean cars, that's a community. Well, not really. It's a category. It allows me to go, okay, that's a person who's driving a blue Kia, and that's a person who's driving a blue Kia, and this guy is not. But you wouldn't have information propagate across that community because they're not talking to one another in any specific way. But once you start to go, oh, wait a minute, the key to community is communication, you start to realize as soon as you have communication, you have community. You have some slightly different community. And so there are a handful of us on this call. We, at some level, are in community with one another here. We're sharing information. We're being influenced by one another, et cetera. Now, of course, Philip has relationship with Tom that is much deeper than my relationship with Tom because he's been chatting with him and working with him. And so they also have a community. It may be just a two-person community. But I think of this as like a Venn diagram kind of community. And we're able to enter into relationships with others and work with them. And depending on how that works, we may go, ooh, I jumped into that too fast. You know, next time I'm considering handing my car to somebody to have them fix it, I should probably look up a couple things first. I should see if they've been vetted by other people that I know. I should see if some organization that assesses whether they're engaged in unfair dealings of some sort, like a small business bureau kind of thing, you know, if they've vouched for them, those kinds of, that's a sort of, hey, I'm going to adjust my behavior now to get a better outcome next time. The other piece here, and so I'll just make one last point. So just to summarize that, that's kind of like, hey, we can opt into ways of playing together and we can do many of those at the same time. But the other piece is we're actually hoping to catalyze new economic models. At the core of economics is recognition. Recognition of contribution. And in the past, the real hard part has been essentially a memory issue, kind of like Philip was saying, but it was really an integrity issue, a data integrity issue. Part of the reason why governments have specialized printers for printing their currency is because if they didn't, anybody could print the currency and that currency wouldn't have integrity. Well, cryptography gives us some interesting things. If somebody has a private key, it's almost like they have a printer that nobody else can duplicate, right? So each individual, just for almost no money, basically, can generate a private key that nobody else has, and then they're able to start stating things, making speech acts, or issuing currency, their own currency, like, hey, I vouch that this guy was great. That's, from our perspective, a form of currency. It's a reputation currency. Those kinds of systems become possible. With distributed data integrity, we start being able to coordinate in ways that just simply weren't previously available to us. And we see that unleashing all sorts of coordination, not just legal coordination, but economic coordination. And so we think it's going to be something that will get adopted widely, especially in places that are having failures of currency as it currently exists in places like Turkey, Venezuela, et cetera. Tom, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I want to repeat back what I hear you saying to make sure that I get it, because I think you've probably found that Holochain is not the simplest thing in the world to understand, but you're really good at it. Yeah. So let me see if I got it. So you described it as kind of as akin to DNA. You're expecting, you're hoping there'll be this Cambrian explosion of communities, institutions running on the Holochain. And I take it when you talk about it, when you invoke this DNA metaphor, that the Holochain would be not the DNA of any particular species, but rather sort of DNA as an idea or information encoding and replication and reading system. That's what kind of the Holochain is like. And it's going to allow all these different species of institutions, communities, running that kind of DNA-ish code. So is that roughly correct?
It is. Yeah, that's very much correct.
Oh, good. if I can continue. Yeah. I'm sorry. Right. I'm afraid I'll forget it. I did take notes. So on that view, ULEX would probably, I'm just trying to see this from your perspective, Matthew. I'm thinking, and mine too, I mean, if I'm right, ULEX wouldn't be something in the Holochain. It's something that institutions, it was kind of like mitochondria, you know, that the institutions running in the Holochain might find really useful, but that's for them to decide. And if, you know, it works out for them, they thrive and they have offspring, et cetera. And if not, then nice try. Is that good too? Okay.
Yeah. Philip has a pretty decent understanding, I think, of both systems. Philip, do you want to comment?
Sure. I was just going to say that I think so just to kind of make it explicit, I think that if you look at the procedural rules of ULEX, so maybe Tom's a better person to explain this, but it's basically that if there's two people have a dispute, both can choose a judge. Those two judges can choose a third. to break a tie break in the case of you know, both if cases of tie break, and then the winner of the winner of the dispute gets to both sides propose remedies, and then whoever loses the case pays the remedy or has to fulfill the remedy of whoever wins the case. So those are a kind of, it's a kind of a simple protocol for resolving cases in ULEX. And I think where this can be relevant to Holochain, this can be kind of encoded in a kind of a DNA within Holochain. So this is the kind of the rule set, you know, like I kind of mentioned before, which is that, you know, it's not so much the data that's the immutable part, but it's more to do with the rule set. So people can know in a pretty easy way that they're following a certain rule set. Of course, they can fork that and you know, create a different rule set, but that essentially creates a different community. I kind of just in Matthew's answer earlier, I thought an interesting point was really what I was trying to get at with the kind of how to make the internet more human, let's say. I think that this idea of you know, this idea of memory, really what Holochain, like in the real world, let's say before the internet, you know, you could have your own personal memory, and then you can have a kind of a community memory, a memory sort of people held in common. So this sort of, you know, personal memory and then kind of communal memory. And I think that's the kind of the analogy that's a kind of a good one for Holochain, which is it really, instead of having these kind of artificial Towers of Babel, let's say, it really goes back to a much more human kind of system, which is that everybody has their own individual memory, and then there's patterns of communal memory within particular contexts. Like, let's say you have a village, and you know, people have stories of, you know, things, you know, funny stories, humorous stories, things that happened in the past. Those things are passed down, and those things are remembered, and you know, passed from individual to individual, let's say. And I think that's, in terms of restructuring the internet to something that's more human, that's the kind of the way I kind of frame it.
I really love that framing. And it does make visible something else that I was wanting to point out, which is there isn't one Holochain, right? Holochain is a pattern. As Tom had mentioned, we think of it as akin to DNA, DNA being a pattern. And different communities are going to use that pattern, but with some specific set of rules in order to coordinate their activities. And included in that activity is keeping track of some of the stuff that they've done together, right? The various actions that have happened. So they're holding memory in, as Philip said, in common. But it's the members of that specific community holding their memories in common. And if I'm participating in that community, and I'm also participating in another community, I'm contributing to the maintenance of both of those shared memory, because those are the communities that I'm a part of. And then it sounded like we're getting close to wrapping up here. In terms of ways to, I'd love to ask Tom, are there ways of supporting ULEX? I know you guys are planning to be building some stuff on Holochain, well, as Tom and Philip. Are there ways of supporting ULEX in moving forward?
Oh, well, thanks for asking. We'll have to ask the same of you in Holochain and in the Holo market. We have an Indiegogo fundraiser going right now. I think it's coming close to an end, but it's doing really great. We are looking for 50K, and I know we're getting close. I don't follow it day to day. Joe is in charge of that. The Startup Societies Foundation is basically helping with that. And Philip is coding some stuff. At least he and I are talking about that. On GitHub, there's a repository, and you know, there's not a ton to do there, but some people like to have that kind of community in their life, and I've been enjoying it. It's been my introduction to GitHub and reintroduction to coding stuff. I used to do it when I was a kid, really. They can get a copy of my book, Your Next Government. That's the best, really. It's still the best source for info about ULEX. Everything, all the coders' notes, discussion of the copyright issues, everything is in my book, Chapter 3.7. And what can we do for you and yours, Matthew?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing ULEX start to become real in the world. Holochain is We've had 4 alpha releases. We've done our fundraising. We had a successful initial community offering earlier this year. We're getting ready to release a beta release, so a slightly more stable version of Holochain, though it's actually a complete rebuild because we built in a different language in order to support use in browsers and on mobile phones. And then Holo we'll have our initial release of Holo coming out hopefully by the end of this year. So the main thing that I'm looking for is people to start playing with it and building and experimenting, especially with some of this stuff. I think it's early days still. Even basic things like simple reputation systems, where there haven't been many built yet. I mean, people are, it's early days where people are just going and building a chess app or, you know, a viral messaging app or things like that. There's a handful of things, but I expect over the next 6 or 12 months, we're going to see an explosion of interesting projects. And I would love to see some of the cultural and civic and governance projects, like the kinds of things you guys are interested in, really be a part of that early push.
So just on that point, I developed a kind of an Ethereum smart contract just for the procedural rules of ULEX, but I'm really looking forward to the release of the stable version, because I think being able to, I think the approach we're taking is that we want to do versions on multiple platforms. Personally, I'm probably most excited about Holochain. So one of the great things, you know, if there's anybody listening to this, especially developers, if there are any developers out there who are playing around with Holochain, you know, that they're interested in building something, it's an open source developer community, and so we'd be delighted to have you involved. So just get in contact with us. We have a Telegram group for the ULEX open source community. You can just search it on Facebook as well. So that's it.
Yeah, and I will give a shout out to the folks in the Holochain community. There are a lot of people in the Holochain community focused on governance. There's a lot of appetite for this. So folks, if you feel like this is something that you want to help make real in the world, reach out. Go hit up Philip and Tom and start contributing to the repo.
Well, excellent. Thank you guys for an engaging conversation here at the Startup Society Foundation. We love communities, digital or physical, and the importance of having small, decentralized, experimental communities that can improve the world of governance. So thank you, everyone, and anyone listening on this call. Do everything in your power to help out the Holochain community, ULEX community, or finding a way to run ULEX on Holochain. Thank you very much, and see you next time at the Startup Society's Foundation podcast.